Glad to see you. So glad you could join us. Good to hear the good news about Bob, too. Praise the Lord. That's just awesome. Well, spring's on the way. Glad for that. Thanks to everybody in your different roles. Mary, thank you for your faithfulness, for getting us started. Chuck, for coming here and setting things up and faithful. Justin, for all you continue to do with the tech things. And each person has their roles. Barry, of course, Scott, being our lead elder. Appreciate him. And Judy, every week with the finances. And takes everybody using their gifts. So glad to hear about Alice's recovery and feeling better. Praise the Lord. This morning, we're continuing our lessons from Cleansing Streams. Our topic this morning, as you can see, is walking in the Spirit. And the Bible uses this phrase, walking the Spirit, several times. Paul in Galatians says, in 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then in Galatians 5:25 he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit is a way of staying in step with the Holy Spirit. He desires for us to walk through life with him, just as we do a close friend or a loved one. You know, in Genesis 5:24, it says, Enoch walked with God. Now, he didn't physically walk with God. Did he? No. But he lived a godly life in fellowship with God. In that way, he walked with God. And this is how we're supposed to be walking with the Holy Spirit, meaning we're supposed to be living a life in communion and fellowship with him, seeking him to guide our thoughts, our actions, our words, day by day and moment by moment. And so, see if this thing works. Just do it. Okay. Amen. You don't think that's it? I thought that would be enough. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for being such a faithful God, for sending your only Son to take the punishment we deserved so we can have a relationship with you, Father, and with Jesus, and to have the Holy Spirit come and live in us. God living in us. It's something we can't really get, Lord. We can say it, we know it, and yet, help us to understand that. And help us, Spirit, Lord, to walk with you. I pray this morning you would come, Spirit, Lord, and we know the word of God is already anointed, but Lord, I pray that you would just come and make it fit for each of us just as we have need this morning, so you receive glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I suppose you've heard somebody said that this phrase, you're a spitting image of your mom or your dad, right? You have your mother's smile. Or you have your father's eyes. Or with the Haldimands, you have your father's nose. Or mother's nose. Okay, yeah. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. You ever think about it? In Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. So we were made in God's image. So does that mean we have his eyes or his jawline or his hair color or texture? Nah. But what is it about us that we are like our Father? What makes us like our Father? What attribute? What thing? Jesus said of God that he is spirit. So what part of us resembles our Heavenly Father? Spirit. Yes, we have a spirit. Small s. Spirit in us. And if we've received the Holy Spirit, we have the big S spirit also in us. So this spirit that God put in man, our spirit that's in us, is unique in all of God's creation. Only humans have a spirit. No other creation or no other being on earth has a spirit. However, that spirit was dead until we were born again. When his Holy Spirit took up residence in us, our spirit became alive. And in Ephesians 5:2, it says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. So now in our spirit, we are alive, and the Holy Spirit lives there in our innermost part. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, don't you know that you are God's temple and God's spirit dwells in you? It's amazing, really. We know that, like I said before, it's something that it's hard to fathom, really. But consequently, most people can't really see our spirit part of us. It's really hidden deep inside of us. And it's in our spirit where we commune and connect with God. Let's go to the next slide. So, some of this is review, and it's good to get review. We know that we also have a soul, which is our mind, our emotions, and our will, our deciding, making decisions. And we live in a body. So we are a triune design by God. God likes threes, doesn't he? And just like there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's three parts to us. Our spirit, which really should be a small s, our soul, mind, emotions, and will, and our body, which houses it all. And Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, to know that this isn't just man's thinking. This is actually from the Lord. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify or set you apart completely, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have these three parts in us that make us up as a person. And now we have the Holy Spirit living in our spirit, alive and well. And that's the part of us that we want to connect with. And so since God is love, love desires to be fellowship. And when you love somebody, you want to be with that person. You want to do things with them and have intimacy with them. And that's what the Father wants with us through his Holy Spirit in our spirit. That connection in our spirit where the Holy Spirit is. So, from our spirit, the Holy Spirit wants to direct us to accomplish what God wants done, his purposes, to bless us and to make us a blessing to others. You get that. I know you do. And when we're doing this, we're really walking in the Spirit. That's what it means to be walking in the Spirit. We're cooperating and submitting to the Holy Spirit and what he desires for us to do and speak. So, does this describe you? It should. Maybe not all the time. Same with me, not all the time. But that's what the goal is. We're a work in progress, aren't we? God is patient with us, though. The difficulty is that before we were born again, our soul realm, our mind, our emotions, and our will were in control of our lives. They were always calling the shots, right? And all our decisions were made by what we thought, what we wanted, and how we felt. Very self-centered. Just, that's how people are in the world. We're also driven by our body's desires, you know? But after we were born again, we were supposed to be connecting to the Holy Spirit in our spirit. But unfortunately, many Christians still allow their soul to be in control of their lives. Paul calls these kinds of Christians carnal or fleshly Christians. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set your mind on the flesh or to be carnally minded is death. Say death.
Death.
Yes, spiritually speaking. That's a strong word. Think about what Paul's saying here. To be carnally minded is death. Wow. Meaning if we're worldly, carnal Christian, we're living apart from God's purposes and plans, and such living like that is really death. We alienate ourselves from God and his purposes in our lives and from his Holy Spirit directing us. That's a big deal. That's why he calls it death. Paul goes on to say, but set your mind on the Spirit, for the Spirit is life and peace. Say life and peace. What do you want, folks? I mean, it's not much of a choice. Life for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. When we allow our soul realm to just do its thing, it's hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Wow. That's pretty stiff, isn't it?
Very final.
Yes. So what we're talking about here is really important. Of course it is. It's all God's word. So what this means is that we just can't spend a few minutes in prayer or in the word a little bit and in the morning and then just check it off our list and just go about our day as we just want to do our own thing then. You don't understand what I'm saying? Easy to do that. Anybody done that? Hello? Yes. We've all been there. Romans 8:14, Paul says, for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I mean, we're not supposed to do our own thing. We're supposed to be listening and submitting to this Holy Spirit. Let him control us, lead us. We're supposed to be walking in step with him, walking with him through our days, living each day, proceeding under his control and direction. The early church did it. You just read through the book of Acts. Again and again, you hear these stories about people hearing the Spirit's voice saying, do this, go there, do this, and they did it. No decision was made without consulting the Spirit on things. And the church flourished. But, as Christians do, many of them went backwards. They backslid and became carnal. Meaning they're no longer led by the Spirit, but reverted back to being led by their soul and their body. This was a case in Corinth in Paul's day. Paul writes, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as spiritual people. These are Christians he's talking to. Couldn't talk to them as spiritual people. I had to talk to you as you belong to this world, as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you milk and not solid food because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. That's what he's talking about here, right? Your soul and your body are leading them, not the spirit. You are jealous of one another, quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? You are living like people of the world. Wow. Now, many believers in Corinth were not walking and being led by the Spirit. But if you read the book of Corinthians, supernatural gifts were manifesting through them. It's interesting, I think. Yet their lives often were still controlled by their fleshly, earthly, carnal nature. They were not submitting to the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, this still happens today. This wasn't just a first century problem for Christians. It is still something that happens today. So, we need to understand that we are living in a constant tug of war between our old fleshly and carnal nature and the Holy Spirit within us, each wanting to be in control and in charge of our lives. Paul describes this in Galatians 5:16 to 25. He says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what your sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions." Do you understand this tug of war that's in us every day? I think we all get this, right? We all have that tension within us between our old carnal sinful nature and the way the Spirit wants us to go. So again, many Christians attend church on Sunday, but during the week, they just do their own thing. They're self-centered, self-absorbed, living mostly controlled by their flesh and their sinful nature. Yes, they're saved, but they're spiritually immature, and they're usually not available for God to do much with them, bearing little or no fruit. This is why this cleansing streams and this understanding spirit, soul, and body is so critical for us, so we can actually be fruitful for God's kingdom. Now, let's talk a little more about this carnal Christians, what this means. Literally, the meaning of carnal or fleshly means to be led by the five senses. Carnal Christians are controlled by what they see, hear, feel, taste, and smell. They're led by physical cues, outward things, external things. If it looks good, feels good, you do it. To live this way, though, both quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit and shuts off the flow of God's power through our lives to minister to others. Another hindrance most of us have is that for years, we take all our cues from our physical senses. Like with our body, we know when we're tired. We know when we're injured or sick. And in our soul, our mind, our emotions, and our will, we know if we're happy, mentally worn out, or if we're depressed or angry. We're very in tune with both our soul realm and our body. But our soul is harder to connect with. That's the rub in all this. To get the directions from our soul, our spirit, from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, in our spirit, we're a wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. Completely filled Holy Spirit. Occasionally, we run into people that are in tune with that spirit within their spirit. And they have this vibrant relationship with God, and you just see it. Supernatural things oftentimes may happen through their lives, and they're secret. They're simply connecting with the Holy Spirit in their spirit better than we are. And they ooze Jesus. You know those kind of people, right? That's what we want. Paul in Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." What is Paul saying to us here? He's saying, look, you cannot see, you cannot hear the things God has for you with your outward receptors. Only from your spirit, where the Holy Spirit is, can you understand all the things God has prepared for our lives. Our senses, our body are clueless to those things of the Spirit that he's wanting to relay to us. And that's why he says the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. It's the Spirit in our spirit. So we need to connect with our spirit and the Holy Spirit in our spirit to understand what God wants for us. So the big question is, how do we better connect with and access our spirit, where the Holy Spirit is? You get the idea. We need this connection. We know it. Hearing God's voice, hearing the Lord's voice, the Spirit's direction. This isn't just reading off a list of requests to God, what I'm talking about here. This is, yes, bring our petitions to him, but also thanking him and just being with him. That's what I'm talking about with prayer now. We're not talking about just some list or some to-do thing. I need to do this. Now I lay me down to sleep. We're talking about a relationship where you're speaking and listening to God both ways. It needs to be that. Why do you think it's so hard for us to pray? Come on. That's the last thing the enemy wants us to do, be connecting with our spirit and the Holy Spirit to be effective for God's kingdom. He doesn't want this happening, real true prayer. And so that's why it's so stinking hard. That's why you just sometimes, but when you get there, it's good. We need it. That's why he says in Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know I am God." Sometimes we just need to just be quiet before God. I don't always understand what goes on in those times of just quiet. But something happens. I spent 3 days a month ago, just me and the Lord, at Tim Deering's place on the river. And I didn't talk to anybody but God. I didn't have my phone out. I didn't do anything. And I did a lot of listening. Did I hear a lot of his voice? No. But there's something that transpired in me. I know there was. I was set free from some things that I needed to be free from. And it was good. Did I hear his voice loudly? No. But there's something about just being still. Many of our lives are just filled with too much noise, commotion. Probably not your life, just my life. We got places to go, people to see, right? It's not necessarily bad to be busy. Jesus was a busy person. But there's times we need to be still and slow down and listen to God. Or we'll just remain carnal and fleshly and miss out on the Spirit's direction and guidance and power. So, some of us need to turn off our technology. I'll just say it that way. Sometimes just put it away and just be still before God. You know, Jesus was in tune with the Holy Spirit, wasn't he? He walked in the Spirit. He's our example. He always lived and walked in the Spirit. It's important for us to understand that. You say, well, Jesus was God. Yes, he was God. Absolutely. Yet he was fully man. When he was on earth, he functioned as a man. He laid aside his power as God and relied solely upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus never did anything on his own, even though he was all-knowing and all-powerful and ever-present, powers of God available to him. He did not use those. And you'll see that if you read the scriptures, you'll see that nothing happened until the Holy Spirit came upon him after he was baptized by John. Then, when he was filled with the Spirit, that's when things started happening, because he was walking in the Spirit, as a man walking in the Spirit. That's why he's our example. In Philippians 2, 6 and 7, it says this. This is the Amplified Bible. Who, although being essentially one with God, in the form of God, possessing the fullness and the attributes which make God, God, did not think equality with God was something to be grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges, so to assume the guise of a servant or slave, in that he became like man and was born in a human being, born a human being. So he was completely man and was completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit's leading. And in John 5, 19, it says, I assure you that the Son of Man can do nothing alone or nothing of himself. Jesus would never just did anything he wanted to do, did he? He only did what the Father showed him through the Holy Spirit. Living this way enabled Jesus to always be in the right place at the right time, saying and doing the right thing. This is the reason he was so effective in his ministry on earth. Everything he prayed for came to pass. Every mountain he spoke to was moved. Every person he laid hands on that was sick recovered. Why? Because he was walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit in all that he did. The more we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in our lives and connect with him in our spirit, the more effective we will be too. And to do this, Jesus spent much time in prayer. We know that. In communion with his Father. Speaking and listening to the Father. This connection was vital for him, and it's also vital for us. That communion, that fellowship. So important. Jesus would listen to the Spirit's nudges and promptings just as he does to us. So, as God's sons and daughters, it's in our nature to be led by the Spirit like this. We're supposed to be familiar with the Lord's voice. He said it in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We should know his voice. We should be in attune to the Spirit's voice and learn to yield ourselves to him more and more. So this walking in the Spirit thing we're talking about should become more normal and natural and not something unusual. And in time, it should be a lifestyle that we're not consciously always thinking about it. It just happens. It flows because we're in the flow of his Spirit. You know, we describe sometimes the leading of the Holy Spirit as being a sense of knowing. You know what I mean when I say that? There's just a knowing that I'm supposed to do this or call this person or text this person or do this or do that. There's an inner voice that's prompting you to do that. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus had these inner voices too, and I never thought about it much before. But in Mark 2:8, he says, Jesus perceived in his spirit. Notice the spirit is a small s. He had a spirit where the Holy Spirit was. I never thought about it before. But he perceived in his spirit that he was supposed to do this or that or say such and such. And John 6:61 says, Jesus knew in himself. He had a knowing. This is what I'm supposed to do. That's how it should be for us. That's why he's our example. That's good, isn't it? So, he wasn't hearing these things with his physical ears. Neither will we. It's a hearing inside that we're after. Now, we must learn that the things in the spirit, in our spirit, and in the spirit realm can't usually be seen or felt. Sometimes they are, but not usually seen or felt. They're revealed through God's Word and through the Holy Spirit. There's only one way to really know who we really are and what is in us and what's in our spirits is from the Word. It's the only way we can truly, really understand and know who we are. Because the outwardness is not going to tell you this. But you can't always trust how we feel about ourselves or what we hear. Because it's not reliable. The five senses are not always in line with what this says. You see what I'm getting after? So, for instance, are there times where you don't feel saved or feel God's presence? Yeah. Well, guess what? That feeling's wrong. Because we know God loves us. Because his word says so. He says, I will never leave you or nor forsake you. My word is truth. So when we get these feelings, we can't depend on feelings. We can't depend on what we hear. So let me ask you this question. Right now, do you feel like more than a conqueror? Probably not. I mean, we don't go around thinking, I'm more than a conqueror. We don't do that. Paul says in Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The only way we can get this in here and in here is to read it there. That's the truth. That's who you really are. The real you is that, not what you hear and see and feel in your soul realm. See the rub here, this tension always. James, in James 1, 23 to 25 tells us that God's word is like a mirror. It reflection shows us who we are in our spirit, in that inner part of us. Who are we in that inner part of us? The only way to know how you look is to look in the mirror, right? In the morning, you all did that this morning. You brushed your teeth, you combed your hair, you looked in the mirror. That's how you know what you look like. Well, God's word is our mirror in the spirit realm. How do you know what you are if you don't look in it? We need to look in it and remember, is what James says, what you look like. Because that's who you are. It reflects who we are in our spirit. That's why Paul says in Romans 12:2, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to renew our mind in God's word so we know who we are, who we really are in our spirit. So we need each and every day to be reminded, because we're forgetful people. And trust the reality that God shows you, knowing it's a truth. Next, in Galatians 5:25, Paul says this to the Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, there is a Greek word for the word walk, peripateto. I'm not a Greek scholar. But I looked it up because I thought, I wonder what it says. It means to stroll. We're to stroll with the Spirit. I thought, that's really good. I'm going to check that out. Strolling, it's a leisurely walk. A person who strolls is not anxious. They're not frustrated. They're not fighting to do something or be somewhere. It's relaxed. That's what he wants with us. And that's how we're to walk. Is that how Jesus walked? I mean, you just look at Jesus. Was he ever in a hurry? Was he ever bent out of shape? Was he ever? No. He was strolling with the Spirit. I thought, boy, that really relaxed, unhurried, peaceful, calm. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. It also implies submission and obedience. In every aspect of our lives, if we want to truly walk with the Spirit, we need to be submitting to Him. Not just doing our own thing, not self-centered. You can see why it's a tug against the flesh, right? That fight always is going on. Dying to ourselves, boy, that's never easy. And thankfully, the Bible is a practical book. It has many examples of people walking in the Spirit and how this all works. This morning, to finish up, we're going to be looking at a story from Luke 5, verses 1 to 10. Somebody want to look that up and read that? That would be great. Luke 5, 1 to 10. It's a very familiar story of Jesus at the Sea of Galilee, and he gets into Peter's boat. And you'll know that. Okay, David's going to read it? Okay, that's great. Again, it's Luke 5, verses 1 to 10. Very familiar, but we're going to learn something from this here.
On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats on the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats, or filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men."
Thank you, Dave. Again, a very familiar scripture here. We don't usually look at scripture in the way we're going to look at it now, but we're going to use our imaginations, okay, to consider what might have been going on in Peter's soul realm. When I say soul, we were singing about soul this morning. A couple of songs had soul in it. We're talking about his mind, his emotions, and then those make decisions or his will, right? That's what we're talking about. What would be going on in Peter's soul realm when Jesus asked him to put down the nets for a catch? It's a simple request that Jesus is asking him to do. Right. The fishermen in Jesus' day fished at night. That's how you caught fish. So to Peter, it wasn't logical to go fishing in the day. because you don't catch fish in the day. They just got done doing it. They fished all night and it didn't get any. Now he wants to be out in the day and do it again. It's a waste of time and energy, it seems, right? And then I'm going to have to do what with the nets again? Clean them again. Oh, I really want to do that again, right? What other things might be going on in his mind about this situation? I mean, here's Jesus. He's a carpenter. Now he's a preacher, a teacher. What does he know about fishing? You're right. He's a commercial fisherman. He did it. His dad did it. His grandpa did it. He's doing it. His son probably will do it. You know, what does Jesus know about fishing? I had to think of the Carly Simon song, I Haven't Got Time for the Pain. I don't want to do this. Oh, how about in Peter's emotions? What will be going on in his emotions? That's part of our soul. He's tired. Frustrated. You're nuts. I don't feel like doing this. I want to go home, put my feet up on my lazy boy, make a fish dinner in the microwave, and watch some TV and go to bed. Yeah. Right. Sure. Correct. Also, what are people going to think about him? His reputation. He has a reputation of being a fisherman. They're going to think, he's a kook. Look what he's doing. He's put down his nets during the day. What a fool. It's going to look foolish. Possible, right? I mean, that's a possibility. And there's this whole crowd there, too. What are they going to think? Here's this fisherman going out to fish in the daytime. I'm not sure how far out they were. So all this was influencing Peter's decision. Right? That's part of the will. Will is part of our soul. Mind, emotions, and will. All these things are running. This is milliseconds going on. You know how our brain processes stuff? And all this is going on quickly. And you got to come up with a decision like that. Was he going to say yes or was he going to say no? Was he going to obey what he was asked to do that seemed not logical? Or is he going to do it or not? Maybe, Lord, how about just tomorrow when nobody's around? I'll do it then. That's a good answer, right? It's not like I'm not going to do it. No, it was supposed to be then. Ooh. With all this going on in Peter's soul realm, and it happens to us too, when the Lord asks you to do something that's unusual or out of the ordinary or out of your comfort zone, we do the same process. And then we have to come up with a decision. Am I going to do it or not? Peter said, nevertheless, what a word, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the nets. He didn't understand it. He didn't really want to do it. But nevertheless, because you said it, because you wanted me to do this, I will do it. Regardless of how it's going to look. Regardless of what others may think or say. And look at the results. Their nets rum was breaking. He had to call the partners in and their boats were starting to sink. And in the midst of this, Peter realizes this is just not a teacher or preacher. This is the Son of God. And says, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching men, right? Yeah. And that's what happened. In Acts 2:41, after Peter's sermon on Pentecost, those who received this word were baptized in that day, and 3,000 souls were added to them. That was another miracle catch, wasn't it? Yeah. He was learning. Peter was in the school of the Spirit. He was learning how to walk in the Spirit, learning to listen, to do what he didn't really sense to do. Do you desire to see God do amazing things through you this year? If so, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. It starts with that choice to connect daily with the Holy Spirit in our spirit through prayer, through the Word, the combination. Looking in that mirror, seeing who I am in Christ. And then as I go through my day, being sensitive to his promptings and his little small voices. I'm going to give you, for instance, this story happened several years ago. It was a Friday evening. I was with Luann. We go out on Friday nights. We go out to eat, generally speaking. And we were at the Lancaster Shopping Center. and there's an inside track there. Luann was getting new running shoes. And so she's going in. I said, I'll just wait in the car. I'm sitting there in the car. And she's in getting these shoes. And this couple comes out of the jewelry store right next to the inside track. And they come walking across. And the Holy Spirit, like, elbows me, says, look at them. It's this couple. Look at them. I'm like, what? He said, look at them. I'm like, what? It was weird. I knew he was saying, look at them. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And I was clueless. What in the heck he's trying to have me do? They got in their car and drove away. Luann came out from the store, and I said, the weirdest thing happened to me. The Holy Spirit says, look at this couple walking. I want you to look at them. And I was looking at them, and I'm thinking, what? And I said, I didn't get anything else. That was a Friday. Sunday, the Sunday paper comes out. I'm reading the Sunday paper, and there's a big picture in an article about that couple. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I usually don't look through the Sunday paper. I go to the sports page or something. But I happened to, just so happened, you know how it is. He highlighted that, and there's a picture of that couple. He had a brain tumor, cancerous, that they operated on but couldn't get at all. And his life expectancy was short. And in the article, it goes on to say that he would have liked to have gone golfing in one of the Caribbean areas before he leaves this world. And all his friends got together and bought him and his wife a week in one of the Caribbean islands where they could go golfing and then come back home again. And as I'm reading this article, I'm thinking, why did you show me this? And I really sense God was saying, I want you to go to them before they go on their trip and anoint him with oil. I'm like, you're kidding me. I mean, these people don't even know who I am. What would you say? I said, so I looked up their names online and I got their phone number. And I called them out of the blue. This is out of my comfort zone, crazy big time. And we were talking about a scale of 0 to 10. I was at 11. I'm like, what am I doing? And I said, hi, my name is Mike. I'm a elder at a local church, and I'm at Hemfield at the high school. I wanted to try to sound like I'm not a kook, you know? So I'm saying, I saw your article in the paper, but I also saw you Friday night when you left the jewelry store, and the Holy Spirit said I'm supposed to come and anoint you with oil before you go on your trip. I'm like, they said, sure, that would be great. I'm like, okay. They said, we're leaving in a few days. So if you could come on this day at this time, that would work best. I said, that would be great. So I show up at their house. Hi, I'm the guy that called you, the crazy guy that, you know, and that wants to anoint you with oil. And they said, oh, come on in. The place was filled with people. They were having a party for him because they're going away. I'm like, oh, no. Talk about weird scenarios. I know. So they're like, "Hi, everybody. This is Mike. He's here from the Lord, and he's going to anoint Terry with oil." And they all gathered around and wanted to join in the anointing service. And so I explained why we do it, what it is a little bit, and what it's supposed to do. And so then I read the scripture, I prayed over them, and then I anointed them with oil in the name of Jesus. And I wished them a wonderful trip. A good friend of mine at the high school, Rob Bear, was a guidance counselor there, and he knew them personally, not like I. So I wasn't sure why God wanted me to anoint him. I was just trying to be faithful, but I was praying for healing for Terry. And it wasn't like more than a week and a half later, after they were back, that Rob said, "Mike, Terry died." I'm like, "Oh." I don't know why God didn't heal him. But I felt like I did what I was asked to do. And I didn't know if that anointing of oil for him brought peace to him, or what all that transpired was beyond what I could ever imagine or think. But I know I was faithful to what God asked me to do, even though it was crazy out of the box. I mean, sometimes God will ask you to do stuff like that. The question is, will you do like Peter said, or like I did, and said, "You know, at your word, nevertheless, at your word, yeah, here I am." I mean, talk about stepping out in faith. It's like Peter on the water, you know. Without the Lord, we are sunk. We're going nowhere. So just watch what the Lord will do through you and me, just normal, ordinary people that are willingly submitting their lives to him, trying to connect with him in a deep way. And as you hear your voice, that little nudge or whatever it is, just do it. Just do those little crazy things he asks you. Sometimes it's just maybe texting somebody or writing him a note or blessing somebody in some way. And watch what God will do. A lot of people say, "Oh, the Christian life, that's boring." Are you kidding me? When you're walking in the Spirit, it's an adventure. You just don't know what the day's going to hold. That's where God wants us. So reliant on him that the adventure will go. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you're so wonderful. Thank you that you gave us a part of yourself to live in us. Thank you, Spirit Lord, for your presence in each of our lives. Help us to connect with you in a deep way, each and every day. Help us to hear your still small voice, to sense your nudges, your promptings, all those things that you want to do through us. And help us then to be obedient and submissive. And yes, Lord, we're not going to hit it right every time. We're going to miss it sometimes. But Lord, help us err on stepping out in faith versus err on not doing what you ask. And you will dust us off and keep teaching us. And the more and more we listen and hear and submit, the more it will become natural and more of a flow in our lives, that what seems unusual at first to us may just be happening on a regular basis. That's what you want. That's what you desire. So help us, because we need it. And there's many people out there that need you in various ways. Help us to be salt and light in dark places where we are at. And you put people in all our lives that need a touch. So have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a handout. It's over on the side if you want it. It's about how to walk in the Spirit, kind of recapping some of these things in a one-page form. There might be 6 or 8 copies over there. If I don't have enough, I can always print more out later. But so this week, let's walk in the Spirit and Maybe we'll have, won't have time to preach. We'll just have time for testimonies of all what God had done this week. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, that's just how the Lord works.